Well, can't honestly say that I planned this, but June 6th was D-Day in World War II, and here are a couple of books that, to varying degrees of seriousness, examine what would have happened if the U.S. and the Allied forces had lost World War II. Ready and. With a premise like this, the idea that the US lost World War II and Germany and Japan came in and took over, I would have to acknowledge as the elephant in the room, The Man in the High Castle, which is an Amazon series that I have not watched even 30 seconds of. Some of my friends said they really liked it. Some of my friends said it was really, really slow. I just never gave it a shot. Suppose I could. I have an Amazon Prime account, but Germany wins, Japan wins, they divide the continental U.S. into two different areas to expand their empire, and then weird kinds of stuff happens, from what I understand. I haven't read the book by Philip K. Dick either. I think I might, eventually, but I want to say that I've read three or four books in this vein, you know, asking this specific question now, and I don't really have the itch to read a whole lot more, just because I'm not sure that you could take it in too many more, you know, new directions than I've already listened to or read. The two books we're talking about in this instance are books that I read in print by, well, the first one is by Peter Thierryas. Check the show notes for the spelling of his name. But this book is called The United States of Japan. This is an example of a really strong premise, really great cover art. And then I get into the book, and I hate to admit that there were times when I struggled to, like, get up the gusto to read it, but I'm glad that I did and that I finished it, and it was exciting. It has, you know, like I said, an awesome cover. If you're a fan of mecha and anime like I am, the cover kind of gives you a bit of a throwback impression to the Gundam Wing cartoons, or I guess pretty much any Gundam. They all have very similar styles. But you've got this giant mecha military machine standing in the middle of a sprawling technological metropolis city, and it looks like it could be, you know, LA or Frisco. And you know, Japan has won the war in this book, and they've executed the tyrant Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and they've expanded into the west coast of what was formerly the United States of America. And they kind of rule with an iron fist, but they bring their culture and they bring their technology with them. The book takes place in an alternate 1984. Woot woot, 1984 babies represent. But it is far more advanced, technologically speaking, than ours was. You know, the characters have what are, you know, essentially smartphones. They call them, I think, porticles. You know, devices that they carry around that, you know, have digital screens and, or, you know, have holographic projections and the like. Because, you know, hey, what would Japan do with, you know, unfettered power and resources, and, you know, combine that with their imagination and their culture? Of course they would advance a lot faster than they would have if, say, you know, a superpower dropped a couple of nuclear bombs on them to knock them down a few notches. So our main character is a guy named Beniko Ishimura. He is a Japanese citizen who, I believe he's like in his late 30s, heading into his 40s. And he's like an intelligence officer whose job is to infiltrate a group of, saying ethnic American sounds wrong because, like, we're from freaking everywhere. The point is they're not ethnic Japanese. They're, you know, descendants of rebels and stuff. They're a group called the George Washingtons, which I'm totally on board with. He's got to infiltrate them and find out, you know, how to take them down. They're obviously fighting the superior power of the Japanese Empire in the United States of Japan. Like I said, cool concept. I think I gave it 3 out of 5 stars, but I would still recommend that you read it. I want to say there was some language. There might have been the occasional F-bomb. But there were some cool mecha battle scenes and stuff. And then as Beniko is going around trying to figure out what's going on, there's plot twists here and there that are worth the read. I'm definitely going to check it out for the sequel, which almost seems like it's more of what the first book should have been. You look at the cover and it's even this even more, you know, Japanese mecha looking monster on the front with a samurai helmet and stuff, and it's a little bit more stylized than the almost cyberpunk vibe of the cover art from the first book. But this one's called Mecha Samurai Empire, and I'm like, dude, I mean, United States of Japan obviously conveys the concept of the story that you're telling, but Mecha Samurai Empire, like, that is an instant buy. So I'm going to be checking out the sequel on that, but take a look at United States of Japan by Peter Thierryas. Ignore the crickets. I'm actually recording this on the front steps of my house. It is a beautiful summer night. I recorded these two segments back to back earlier in the day, but the second one sucked. So I figured, hey, I'd redo it, and now it's just such a nice night. I'm sitting on my front steps. I'm petting my dog, sipping a bubbly beverage, and wanted to talk to you about one other book, The Only Thing to Fear by Carolyn Tung Richmond. I read this one about 6 or 7 months before the United States of Japan, and as I mentioned, it's in a similar vein. It's just instead of this is what it would look like if Japan conquered the west coast of America, it's this is what it would look like if Germany conquered the east coast. But it's not the same treatment as Philip K. Dick's Man in the High Castle, the Amazon show. This one kind of goes almost a, let's say, an X-Men route, where not only are the Germans in charge, but they had a science division that allowed them to give some of their soldiers superpowers. Some of them can fly, some of them have lightning, some of them can do fire or, you know, have super strength. Excuse me. The key point is that everybody only gets one superpower unless there are, you know, aberrations. Our main character is a girl named Zara. Was never exactly sure how to pronounce it. Zara. Spelled Z-A-R-A, like Sarah, but with a Z. She is on the Germans' radar because she's an ethnic half-breed. One of her parents was Japanese. The Japanese and the Germans, let's say they have a warm agreement to be cordial to each other, given that they kind of tag-teamed America and won World War II in this alternate timeline. But Zara wants to be part of the resistance, like certain members of her family are. But because she's young and female, they want to kind of protect her from that. And then some developments happen that make it almost imperative for her to be included in it. Won't say what, don't want to spoil it, but it's an excellent read. There's basically a plot to assassinate Hitler's grandson or great-grandson. With the Germans taking over, they've now established a Hitlerian dynasty, and so now it's, you know, Adolf is long dead, and they've got to go kill Jimmy Hitler in America. I don't think that was his real name. It was something German. But I got it for Christmas in 2015. We were visiting family in Idaho, and any spare moment where I wasn't playing a game or something, I was reading this book. It was an engaging read. It was a lot of fun. And I think there was even a sequel to it that I haven't gotten to yet. But that's kind of what got me on the path of, you know, reading books that were set with this premise. U.S. loses World War II. These people take over. What else? I will say, you know, content-wise, it's pretty clean. It's more of a young adult book than U.S. of Japan was. U.S. of Japan wasn't young adult at all. This one definitely is. That just makes it a bit of a quicker read. And wouldn't say that there, you know, isn't emotional weight or depth to it. It's just it's good, light, fun, and really well written. Miss Richmond is a talented writer, and so I would recommend that you check it out. As a final note, I've mentioned before that I didn't really start this podcast with the intent to advertise with it, and I still don't mean to. But I myself have written a trilogy of books that is, I guess you could say, you know, in this subgenre of historical fiction. And figured I'd just give it a quick plug here for the few of you out there who might not have heard of it. Engines of Liberty by myself, Graham Bradley, illustrated, if you get it in print. It's not an audio yet, but wink, wink, nudge, nudge, I am working on that. Holy cow, there's an idiot driving on the wrong side of the street in my neighborhood. I wish I could say that's the first time I've seen it, but I have not. I cannot. It is not. This might be the last time I record on the front steps of my house. We shall see. Anyway, Engines of Liberty, my friend Dave Butler describes it as Harry Potter versus guns. I think it's a very quippy, fitting one-liner description for it. But basically, in an alternate timeline, the Brits had magic, so they beat us in the American Revolution. They cheated. Dirty buggers. But the... are these people British or something? They're driving down the wrong side of the road again. What is with you? This is amazing. This episode of the podcast might end up on my neighborhood watch. Anyway, they won the American Revolution because they had magic. The rebel survivors went underground and developed machinery and black powder weapons that they could use to have a second go at it, basically, and it takes them about 200 years to get ready. They build up an arsenal, but they need soldiers. The main character is a 15-year-old named Calvin Adler. He gets recruited to join the Technomancers, and they go to fight the British. And then everything goes sideways from there. So check it out if you're interested in this subgenre of oops, we didn't win this war, here's what happens instead, fiction. And that's it for this Wednesday episode. Hope you guys will look into these books and tell me what you think of them. And then, as always, tune back in on Friday for Tales from the Road. Till then, drive safe. I will see you out there.